Personally, I think that that's where the core issue lies. Harassment and violence have become normalized in our society.
The first guy spoke again. Come on, babe, I'm just trying to be nice. I'm sure we get along great.
But it's okay. I mean, I never think it's a big thing because they do it to everyone.
We should all be able to exist in any space or environment. If you, have been searching for a space where people discuss and share engaging stories, personal experiences, and inspiring conversations, welcome home! Hello everyone, I'm Gwynne Rosalie, content creator and micro-influencer, starting out on her podcast journey. This is My Journal, the podcast where we dive deep into our stories and shenanigans, self-reflection, personal growth, and a little bit of everything. Tune in for relatable content and a supportive community that uplifts and empowers. So guys, today we're talking about harassment, particularly gender-based harassment. It's a topic that really matters to me, and I think it should get us all concerned, actually. For better understanding, we're going to try and define some words here. So harassment is an illegal behavior towards a person that causes mental or emotional suffering, which includes repeated unwanted contacts, insults, threats, touching, or offensive language. Sexual harassment is unwanted or offensive sexual attention, suggestions, or talks. Sexual assault is the act of forcing someone to take part in a sexual activity with you, or of touching someone in a sexual way when they don't want you to. Catcalling is the act of shouting, harassing, and often sexually suggestive, threatening, or derisive comments at someone publicly. So what really made me want to talk about the subject is an incident that happened. We'll come back to it later. And this article that I came across about a study examining why, despite high rates of gender violence among youth, only few young women report these incidents to authorities. Just to give you an idea, globally, street harassment affects a significant percentage of women on a daily basis. Studies show that 55% of women have experienced harassment since the age of 15. In some regions, such as in Nepal, it goes up to 98%. Now, back to the article. What I really loved about it is the fact that it shifts the focus from simply questioning why young women remain silent to exploring how violence is produced, maintained, and normalized. Personally, I think that that's where the core issue lies. Harassment and violence have become normalized in our society. In fact, I'd say since forever. For example, as you'll see in the following interviews and testimonials, girls don't usually label their experiences as harassment or abuse. So how do these young women identify and understand their victimization? Why do so many people come to view violence, abuse, or harassment just as a normal part of life? I guess understanding this normalization process is crucial for addressing and changing these harmful patterns. And that's what we're going to try and find out today. So we're going to start off by reading some of the girls' experiences with harassment. It's basically a bunch of interviews and some testimonials. I'm going to share my personal experience too and scenarios that I've witnessed. I want you to try and catch how girls talk about their harassment, the terms they use, and how it affects them. Now, a little disclaimer here. Some details in the following testimonials can be triggering. Also, this isn't by any means trying to make men look evil. It's just sharing personal experience, talking about the matter, and raising awareness. Starting with a study conducted by the Social and Cultural Science Faculty at Marquette University, so in the US, this is mostly going to be sexual harassment and sexual assault of teenage girls. Now, 13-year-old Kelly told the interviewer about her experience with 20-year-old Eric. She says,
"He'd follow me around all the time, tell me I was beautiful and stuff, that he could have me whenever he wanted to. And he did that all the time. Like, would touch me and say, 'Do you want me?' I think it's just like that. That's how it goes. It's just like it goes on and everyone knows it. No one says nothing."
14-year-old Carla, for example, cast assault and threats as expected because they were typical. In this passage, she described her chronic harassment by a young man as they rode the school bus.
Like, on the bus, like when I'll sit, he'll try and sit next to me and then slide his hand under my butt. And then I'll like shove him out of the seat and he'll get mad. Like, his face turns red and he doesn't talk. I guess he feels rejected. He told me, he was like, I'm going to come over to your house and rape you. And I know he's just joking, but it can be a little weird.
15-year-old Lana explained how 18-year-old Mike tries to bring girls downstairs in the school basement and forced them to, like, make out and stuff. She said Mike tried to bring her downstairs on numerous occasions, and he would get mad when she said no. In response, Lana tried altering her behavior by avoiding being alone in the school hallways, at her locker, or even in the bathroom. That didn't stop the guy. Lana says,
I was going to the bathroom and he wouldn't let me go in. He bent his foot in front of the door, and he's like a really strong person. I couldn't open the door. And he said,
I'll let you in if you give me a kiss.
And I said no. So I was heading back to the classroom and he pinned me against the door. He tried to like lift up my shirt and touch me, but then I started to scream. And I guess someone heard, because then someone started coming, so he got away from me. And I just went back to the classroom. I just didn't think it was really nothing. I forgot about it.
So this was a study conducted in Tunisia, and women in their 20s shared how harassment in public spaces is a daily struggle. The women reported feeling the need to modify their dress and behavior just to navigate these spaces. One of the women interviewed shared how street harassment significantly impacts her day-to-day life, saying,
Every time I leave the house, I have to think about what I'm wearing and how I'm walking. Even when I try to be careful, it still happens. It's exhausting to always be on guard just to feel safe when walking in public spaces.
And just that reveals how deeply ingrained and pervasive harassment is. One testimonial goes like,
When I was 18, I took a trip to Portland and used the city's public transport light rail to get around to my hotel. There were a few people, including two maybe mid-20-year-old men, in the same car. One of them yelled something over at me, which I don't remember because I ignored them, but he persisted and yelled again, Hey, pretty girl, you 18 yet? I responded that it wasn't his business. The guy responded back asking me to smile for him, and I told him no, in which his friend pipped in and asked why I was being mean to his friend. I didn't respond and ignored him. Now, I was getting close to my stop, and I remember slowly inching towards the door. The first guy spoke again, Come on, babe, I'm just trying to be nice. I'm sure we get along great. In which he then proceeded to literally spread his legs. I don't remember what else the guy said, but the guy stood up right before the light rail door opened, and I don't think I've ever ran that fast in my life, because I was scared the two would follow me. Luckily, I made it back to my hotel safely.
So I promise this is the last study, but this one was conducted in Zimbabwe, exploring similar issues by interviewing female undergraduate students about their street harassment experiences. The research found that harassment is widespread in public spaces and transportation. A girl shared,
It's something we deal with almost every day, especially when we walk through town or take public transport. The constant catcalling and inappropriate comments make it hard to even enjoy a simple walk.
I really connect with those last testimonials, so the ones that were mainly about street harassment. Like, why is it that weirdos always seem to show up when you're just trying to enjoy a little time out? It's like there's always someone ready to pull your shirt, catcall you, or make some cringe-worthy comment. Like, I remember this time when I was seriously annoyed. My friend was buying something, and I was right next to her when this guy approached us. He went like, Hey, would you mind buying something for me too? And I shot him a look like,
Dude, really?
He then went up to my friend with the same request, but went so far as to pulling her hijab. She got furious and told him not to touch her. And the guy had the audacity and the nerve to say,
Who do you think you are? Why can't I touch you?
Like, seriously, the audacity. I had to hold myself back. And that made me wonder if we as women can really do something about this. Or are we just expected to tolerate these kinds of encounters, always bracing ourselves for the next awkward moment? Another friend of mine shared a wild story about the time she had a hyperventilation attack. She was leaving the hospital completely alone, in tears, and barely aware of her surroundings. And what do the guys around her do? They call her babe, ask if she wants to ride home. One guy even laughed straight at her face and blocked her way with his motorcycle. I swear, when it comes to invading personal space, some men really take the cake. There was this time when my cousin shared that in their school, there's this teacher that touches girls inappropriately. Mind you, she's in 7th grade.
He does it to everyone,
she said, in the most natural and innocent way. And that's what disturbed me the most beyond the disgusting behavior of the teacher, as if it was just a normal part of her day. When I realized that I was becoming desensitized to situations like these, it hit me real hard. Like, it didn't bother me as it used to. And that's when I literally understood that I had started to normalize it all. How do we come to normalize these behaviors, you may ask? Well, to truly understand how we reach this stage of normalization, we kind of need to explore what happens in our minds, like the psychological effects of harassment. You know, when we're constantly faced with similar scenarios or hear stories like these from a young age, especially in the age of social media, it subtly shapes our perceptions. We start to think that it's just part of life, that it happens to everyone, and that men are like that. But the reality is that harassment has been a part of our society for ages. What's changed recently is that social media has given women a platform to speak out. It's like a widespread problem, and it really deserves our attention. And guys, young people are socialized into this patriarchal culture that normalizes and often encourages male power and aggression. Because society often perceives male violence as customary, something normal or usual. Well, it similarly conditions women to endure it. And this acceptance creates a troubling cycle where both the aggressor and the victim are trapped in a narrative that normalizes harmful behavior. Young women depicted boys and men as natural sexual aggressors, described them as unable to control their sexual desires. Personally, I agree. Like, girls are harassed and assaulted at parties, in schools, on the playground, on buses, in cars, literally everywhere. Nonetheless, assaultive behaviors were often justified, especially when characterized as indiscriminate. For example, Patricia, she's 13, told the interviewer,
"They grab you, touch your butt, and try to, like, touch you in the front and run away. But it's okay. I mean, I never think it's a big thing because they do it to everyone."
Referring to the boys at school, Patricia described the unwelcome touching and grabbing as normal, commonplace behaviors.
"It just happens," or "they're boys, that's what they do."
Similarly, you remember Kelly. Well, she trivializes her experiences of sexual harassment by a man 7 years older. Her description of ongoing harassment also confounds romance and aggression, because Eric's harassment was fused with courting, compliments, and sexual desire. Again, Carla. She names her experience weird while normalizing the young man's behavior as understandable, saying,
"I know he's just joking."
I guess something we can all agree on is that harassment was dangerously constructed as romance and flirting, and that often entitles young men to violate the bodies of young women. We're going to stop right there and note something. Some men know that they are being harmful, but love this dominance and power over women, while others are poor little beings that don't know how to tell women that they're interested in them. And that's why they'll be all pushy and cringy. Sometimes we as women mistake their interest for harassment, or it can actually be harassment, but they, like the men, don't know that it is harassment. For instance, so this is going to be a little story time. There's this guy who clearly showed that he was interested in me. Nothing unusual until you know that he's literally more than 6 years old. Like, he was 40 when I was born. And it was during my internship, so I had to deal with him every day. Him coming to sit next to me, engaging conversations, talking about his life, his wife, his kids. And I had to sit there and play dumb. He eventually talked about what he wanted and how he could get any girl he wanted. I think he forgot that he's old and near death. But anyway, so he told me how the previous girl he dated was in high school and that they'd been together for 6 years. Like, he was dating a minor. The guy is married. And, you know, me saying this out loud is, like, makes me realize how crazy it is and how bad this was. I still don't know why I didn't report this. Well, I think I know, and we'll get into that later. But his behavior right there is harassing. So there was this time I couldn't make it to work, and he managed to get my number. The guy called me like 20 times in less than 24 hours. That's literally a call every hour and some text messages here and there. You know what, losses? Source, lilliard.com. I quote, "Just one unwelcome call can be harassing. People who commit telephone harassment are subject to fines, prison, or both." Just to say that maybe he knows I won't say anything and that's why he's acting the way he does. Or maybe he's done it to so many girls that he doesn't consider his behavior harassing. But all in all, description of assaults here are concerning. Girls often refer to it as a weird threat, something they just say, or something she let happen. And young women often hold themselves and their peers responsible for acting as gatekeepers of men's behaviors. How can I deal with harassment? How should I react? What can I possibly do? Well, let's try finding answers to that. The first thing victims are advised to do is to talk about it, whether it's an adult, a friend, or a therapist. But is it always that easy? Harassment and violence are literally a part of everyday life. Yet, most of these crimes go unreported. Like, less than 40% of women who experience harm seek any kind of help, and fewer than 10% report these incidents, mostly because they fear retaliation or that they lack trust in the system. In general, they fear not being believed or being blamed. For instance, when my cousin's mom heard about their teacher, the first thing she said was, "Why did you let him touch you?" As if she was to blame. For my case with a 6-year-old guy, I really wanted to do something about it, but I was like, how would I still be going to work and face him if I said stuff to him? Because I know myself, if I started talking, I would have said some shitty stuff to him. And they could be used against me anytime. I thought about talking to the boss, but again, I didn't want to bring any fuss knowing that I only had a few weeks left. All I did was avoid him, never responding to his calls and eventually blocking him. And most of the time, women think they'd be listened to if it's a serious incident. Sometimes you can report the incident only for it to come to nothing. For example, one study in Kenya revealed that a majority of women reported experiencing harassment in public spaces, particularly on transportation. However, only a small percentage of cases resulted in action being taken by authorities, with about 27% of cases being investigated, while many are simply recorded or ignored. Most of us, we know that it's not our fault, but I think it'd be way easier if others also knew that it wasn't our fault. We should all be able to exist in any space or environment, no matter where we are, what we're wearing, or who we're with. Other tips we're usually given may include ignoring the offender or making additional maneuvers. In some testimonials, some young women responded to harassment with a barrage of maneuvers, like avoiding, which is my go-to, or diverting attention. However, these tactics don't always work, and I guess that we're all aware that eradicating the matter could be hard. But I think that we can at least help minimize the rates of harassment women face if, from an early age, boys were educated on the subject. Parents could teach the boys that there's a way to talk to girls and engage conversations without being pervasive. Maybe let them know that out there, there's this and this that happens to girls. Step up and help when you witness scenarios like this. However, the education should not be limited to boys. Men and women, we should always be ready to help when we can, even by just intervening. In Senegal, there's this project I actually never knew about. I just loved it and found it super interesting. It was the USAID/PAEM initiative. So USAID stands for United States Agency for International Development. PAEM, Program for the Improvement of Education in Mathematics and Science, which is a USAID-funded project. It introduced school-related gender-based violence, SRGBV, in Senegal by fostering self-confidence among both boys and girls. And the best part, in my opinion, it included training for school staff and community members to effectively address and combat the issue of SRGBV. And I find it amazing to just have such a project that educates girls, boys, youngsters, adults, everyone on the matter. Now, something I find crazy is that most men are not aware of how frequent gender-based violence is. I talked to male friends about the subject. One of them told me that he never heard of such a thing. Mind you, the guy is 21. Another one said that he only witnessed the scenario once. Like, once. Y'all see the difference? We experience this almost every day, and boys either never heard of it or just witnessed it once in a lifetime. Crazy, right? But guys, we need to create a culture in which people who harass are held accountable for their actions. The most effective way that we can all contribute to this culture shift, in my opinion, is by becoming active bystanders. Like, intervene if you can in any harassment scenario you witness, report the offender or the attack. Try talking to the victim, let her know that it's not her fault and that she's not alone. If you're the victim, there has been some research that individuals who are harassed may experience less of an emotional impact if they respond to it in some way. Now, I do want to remind that you are not obligated to respond. There's no perfect response. How and whether you respond is completely up to you. Remember that you're awesome, that it's not your fault, and that you are not alone. Thank you all so much for staying till the end, and I hope you guys liked this episode and found it interesting. If any of you have some constructive critiques, leave them in my DMs or the comment sections of my social media platforms so that I can do better next time. See y'all soon for the next episode.